Paul, this is Brian from Chicago. Just finished show 55. Really enjoyed it. Wanted to tell you that you're doing a great job and keep it up. We really enjoy everything you're putting out, and I enjoy listening to your show a lot. Paul, some potential feedback for you. You know, maybe not feedback as much as a suggestion. I'd really be interested to find out more about how the show is made and how it's affected your life. I'm wondering specifically, if now you're going to this weekly format, if you still have your day job, so to speak. Curious if this has now become a full-time gig for you or not, and what that's meant to you and your family and so forth. Anyway, love the show. Keep it up. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you so very much, Brian, and thanks to everyone who got out their cell phones and called. All your questions will be answered on this, The Mad Money Machine, episode 57 for early April. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. Oh my goodness. Oh, that X-ray dogs. Oh, I love that. Oh, it just cracks me up every single time I hear it. Oh. Yeah, I'll give you a little insight into how I produce the show and what's going on in my day job. But before I get into anything else, I want to point out one very important thing, and that is the Mad Money Machine Show is sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. And if you haven't been to IFA.com, do yourself the favor of going out there with your web browser and typing in IFA for Index Funds Advisors. Even I haven't read everything they've got to read out there. It's just a wealth of information. I love the benchmarking tool, the risk capacity survey. You can click on the advertisements to have some fun in there. Look at all the paintings that they've done. You can even, if you find the link for it, you can even read the book, Index Funds, 12-Step Program for Active Investors, online for free. All right, Brian, I'll tell you more about how I do the show and a little bit more about me and my day job and all that sort of stuff, but I'm not going to do it entirely in this single show. I'm going to string it out over the next year's worth of shows. So do stay subscribed. But here's what I'll tell you this time. It's just me in my home office with my multi-track recording software, microphone, and a voice processing hardware box. I heavily edit the show, and when I think I've got it just right, I save it, upload it, and publish it for you. How and why did I get into investing? Remember the show Family Ties with Alex Keaton? He was kind of my idol when growing up. He was always into the stock market. When I got my first job, my favorite show on TV was Wall Street Week with Louis Rukeyser. When I got my first paycheck, other than spending it on rent, I wanted to know how best to save it. I knew that putting it in the bank was wrong, so I started buying some stocks and mutual funds. I'll tell you more about the company I went to work for and a little bit more about my investing passion in upcoming shows. For the moment, let's just say that my career has been as an engineer, mostly in developing software, and there are a whole lot of parallels between the information processing systems I've had to develop for my customers and the information processing needs that we all need for managing our money. So I'm applying my background in the practical application of mathematics to the problem of efficient investing. And I'm thrilled to be able to use my creativity to share that information with you. Bored to tears yet? I just, most of the time when I talk about myself to somebody else, I see their eyes glazing over and they start to blink and fade out and look around and look at their watch. And so I'm not too used to talking about myself. But here's the aha moment that I had a few months back while doing this show. You remember Good old Phil Town. He was our guru two times in a row a long time ago. He has that book, Rule Number One, A Way to Invest in Stocks. Well, I read his book with great care and looked at his methodologies for picking stocks. And he had this whole elaborate scheme for going out to Yahoo Finance and looking at various stocks' potential earnings growth into the future, and had this formula that you use to try to calculate that stock's price. And then you would buy stocks only if they're discounted. And so I developed a spreadsheet, and I would go in and grab all the numbers manually from Yahoo and plug in the 10-year earnings estimates and calculate that backwards to the present and divide by two to get the safe stock price and all this sort of nonsense. And my aha moment was, you know, I bet you that there's a software program that can do all this manual calculation that I'm doing for every single stock that's in the stock universe and do it in real time. The aha moment really was gelled for me in that, yeah, of course. All these brokerages and hedge fund managers, of course they have software that can look at every single stock and figure out what the current prices of these stocks are. And if there's any one single stock out there that's undervalued at the moment, then they buy it. And poor little old me with my little spreadsheet trying to go out to Yahoo Finance and manually enter these numbers into a spreadsheet to figure out what stocks are undervalued at the moment. It just hit me like a ton of bricks that says, this is a game that I cannot win. And there must be a better way to invest. And then it was about the same time that I came across the book Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. I read it, and it just makes so much sense, especially for an engineer. Read more books like that from Bernstein, and you can see a lot of them in the Gurus page of Mad Money Machine. And it brought me around. That's where I am today. And I'll hope to share it with you. Speaking of gurus, how about this caller?
Well, hello. Your ploy to get me to call by using the four thing absolutely worked. I really enjoy listening to the show. This is Briar Rose from Colorado. I missed the guru. The guru is my favorite part of the show, and you didn't have it on this week. So I hope that is on next week. Anyway, thank you so much for doing it every week, and I will keep listening. Thanks.
No, thank you for listening, and thanks for staying listening, Briar Rose. Thanks for your concern about the missing gurus segment. Yes, I know I've missed them too, but you realize that a couple of the gurus have been on the show, so I didn't need to spin the wheel on those shows. Last week, you're right, I missed having a guru segment. And I make up for that right now because I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go! And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show number 57 is Don McDonald. Don McDonald is a host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The Don McDonald Show. He's been in radio since about 1988, and he's also a co-host of Sound Investing Show. Both of those radio shows you can receive as a podcast through iTunes. Don McDonald is also an advisor with the Merriman Capital Management out of somewhere in the Northwest. Now here's the thing you gotta do. You've got to go to donmcdonald.com and click on his link at the top, Video Workshop. Now you know, the next time that TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, comes on, you know that's an hour-long show. Pledge to yourself that instead of watching that nonsense, that you will go to donmcdonald.com, click on his Video Workshop tab, and watch his hour-long presentation on the best way to invest. It's a fantastic online presentation of their philosophy, which matches exactly with my philosophy and matches with the index funds advisor's philosophy on how is the best way to invest, how do you allocate your money across different asset classes. At the end of his presentation, he'll explain very clearly why the dimensional fund advisor's funds are better than just about any other investment that you can get into, in his opinion, in my opinion, in the opinion of index funds advisors and Mark Hebner. Now, one other thing that you should know about Don McDonald is he is the inventor of the TACAMAP. and I'll let him explain it in his own words.
People have been pushing pins into maps for years to mark travels, show customers, or track hurricanes. Being visual creatures, we like to see where we've been or might be heading. The only problem has been the ugly maps into which the pins are stuck. They're unsightly, hole-filled messes that just don't fit in your beautiful office or den. Well, ugly pushpin maps are a thing of the past. Now there are Tacomaps. These patent-pending maps are made for pushpins and designed to look great in your home or office. They're special fabric maps tightly bonded to genuine cork and wrapped in the finest furniture finish solid wood frames. Check them out at Tacomap.com. They don't show holes like paper maps, and they're built to last for years. They're perfect for keeping track of clients, sales territories, places you've been or would like to visit. And they're available in a wide variety of sizes and finishes and in almost every state in the nation or nation on the globe. Get one now or give one as a gift. Visit Tacomap.com. Plus, you get a 90-day guarantee. Order today at Tacomap.com. That's Tacomap.com.
Well, the Tacomap sounds like a fantastic product. I may actually buy one of these things. I'll let you know if I do, because I've always loved maps. And Google Maps has kind of ruined the whole mapping fascination for me with the instant access to any map, anytime, anywhere, any place. But having maps as art and being able to have them on display full time is interesting to me as well as it is to Don McDonald. Well, when you listen to his video workshop, you'll know all about his investing philosophy, so I don't need to tell you anymore. There's our guru for show 57, Don McDonald. I'd like to tell you another little story now. My son's school back in early February had a teacher workshop day. Every other kid in the state was still in school except for our son. So we decided, what are we going to do? Let's take advantage of this and go someplace where there would normally be just a mob full of kids, and we'll be the only people there. And we went to Great Wolf Lodge in Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, there's a number of Great Wolf Lodges all over the country, probably a dozen or so. This one's in Williamsburg. We drove down. On the way down there, this is the important part of the story, we stopped at a McDonald's. Nice, clean McDonald's, by the way. Went to the restroom there. And in the restroom, there was this music playing. You know how you get that kind of Muzak music? Well, this Muzak music was really good. And I wanted to remember the song somehow because I'd never heard it before. And I thought of an idea. I grabbed for my cell phone. I've got one of these Trio cell phones, and I've got software on there that I can record a little voice memo. Sound recorder, it's called. And so I took that out, pressed record, and held it up to the speaker in the ceiling and recorded a few snippets of the song. So I saved that away. And just the other day, I pulled out my Trio, and I went to my sound recorder program and looked at the things I've got recorded in there. And I played this one. And I remembered it for the first time in about a couple of months that I had this on there. And let me play that for you right now. And it's a horrible recording. I could not very well make out the actual lyrics to it, but in the end I did. And it said something about for a lonely soul you had such a nice time. And so of course I typed into Google lyrics, lonely soul, such a nice time, and back came of course the song by Keane. Song called Nothing in My Way. And I just love that music. Both albums, fantastic. And the other coincidence there for us is that Blake Lewis sang a Keane song on American Idol. And my wife said, I love that song. And isn't it fantastic when you serendipitously come across really great music like that? So do you e-file your taxes? I came across a website called Index Town, and he's got an article from March 22nd entitled, Do You E-File Your Taxes? He says, according to the IRS Newswire, taxpayers are filing electronically at a record pace this year, said IRS Commissioner, blah, blah, blah. And the Index Town guy says, now that's funny. For many people, e-filing does not come free, while it actually saves the IRS money. So the IRS should actually arrange for e-filing to be provided free for all, or to give incentives for the taxpayer to e-file. He says, if you're expecting a refund, you haven't done your finances right. You should always adjust your withholdings to not have a refund. Otherwise, you're simply giving an interest-free loan to the government. Therefore, assuming that you've done your finances the right way and are paying taxes for the previous year, there's no reason to e-file and then getting the money deducted from your bank account earlier. So no thank you. I will send in my tax return mid-April through the good old United States Postal Service and have the IRS take the money out from my bank account when they process my paperwork. And I commented on there, yeah, I've, you know, I owe the government money on my taxes, and I'm not in any big hurry for them to get it. Matter of fact, I'm going to mail it in an envelope, probably the last day possible. Hope that they check it in on their little computers saying they've received my check, and then proceed to lose the check and have to come to me crying and complaining that they want another one. And no thank you, I won't be paying any interest on the error that you've made. How dumb is it for the government to require you to pay money to pay your taxes? Now, in my state, Virginia, what TurboTax conveniently doesn't tell you is that you can e-file for free through a website that the Virginia Tax Authority provides. Very simple to do, just a couple of forms to fill out. If you've already filled out your federal return, just copy that stuff over to the Virginia website, press submit, and they get your money. Just a shame they don't spend it on more roads in my area.
Hey, Paul. How are you? This is Jack Mackerel in Brooklyn. I had a question for you. I heard that they've made available a Roth 401k. I was wondering if you know what the details are surrounding it. I was wondering if it was tax-free withdrawal after retirement, like the traditional Roth, and if so, what advantages the traditional Roth has over the Roth 401k. And if you're ever in Brooklyn, we'll have to take you out for some real Brooklyn-style pizza to get you off that Domino's imposter. Okay, have a great day, and great show as always. Stay invested.
Dude, next time I am in Brooklyn, I am definitely looking you up because I want to know what is Brooklyn style pizza all about. All I know is I like this Domino's Brooklyn style pizza. I got one tonight. I like it. I shouldn't be eating it much pizza though. But anyway, Roth 401k. All right. Here's the deal. Traditional IRA. If you don't make very much money, then you can defer some money on your taxes, putting that money into a traditional IRA. And when you retire, you take it out, you start paying income taxes on the money you take out of your traditional IRA. Roth IRA, you don't get any deduction for putting it in. You have to be a poor person to put money in. In other words, you have to meet some income limits. You can't make over such and so money per year to put money in a Roth IRA. But when you take it out, it's tax-free, which is the glory of a Roth IRA. 401k and Roth 401k. Well, this is a plan through your employer. Usually, your investment choices are pretty stinkily limited in a 401k plan. They may give you a couple dozen of their fund choices to buy into, and then you got to deal with it. The traditional 401k, when you pull money out when you retire, you got to pay income taxes on that money. But the beauty of it is, most of the time, your employer matches some of the money that you put into the 401k. And that, as they always say when they talk about a 401k, that's free money that you shouldn't pass up. Always contribute the maximum to your 401k, they say, so that you get that employer match. Now, the Roth 401k. What's that all about? Well, your employer has to provide it. And mine does not yet. They haven't even talked about providing it. It's something that employers have to proactively undertake, is providing employees with the option of going into a Roth 401k. And the difference there is, again, when you take money out, it is tax-free. So, first of all, check whether your employer even offers a Roth 401k. Definitely look into the details of it. It's supposed to be a better deal in many cases than the regular old 401k. As with most things, you can find out more about it by looking in Wikipedia.
Paul Douglas Boyer, this is Mark Lindsay. I'm a listener to your podcast and appreciate everything that you're doing. Just have one question that maybe you can do a little bit of research on and and see if there's any other information out there. I've heard some research out there in regards to the tide changing in the stock market over the next several years as baby boomers begin to retire and begin taking out money out of the stock market as compared to what is flowing in. We all know that the stock market thrives or grows just regular supply and demand. And long term, I have some concerns about the stock market that we can achieve positive returns. Just interested what your thoughts are on that. And appreciate listening to your podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Thank you very much, Mark, for calling in to the Madman Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763. And if anybody else has a question, you can call that number. Mark, the question you raise about the tide and the stock market. When you first mentioned tide, I thought you were talking about that book that tried to predict stock market prices based upon the actual ocean tides. But I'm glad you went on to talk about the baby boomer generation retiring and all that sort of stuff, because that's a more legitimate concern. And the concern was raised in the book by Jeremy Siegel, The Future for Investors. He talked about the baby boomer generation retiring and going to pull all their money out of the stock market when they retire to pay for their winter condos or whatever. Well, he went on to talk about the global solution. And when you think about it, half of all the market cap of stock market equities in the world are outside of the United States. And also think about all of the emerging market countries where the population are becoming more wealthy. They're going to want to invest their money in the future, and their populations are on the increase, not on the decrease. So they are going to want to be buying assets that we're going to want to be selling when it comes time for us to retire. That's the hope, anyway, for the global solution. Also, keep in mind, if you're really concerned about future returns, make sure you do the following things. Look into the proper asset allocation for your equities. By that I mean, don't just invest in the S&P 500 fund going forward. Spread your money across the world. Spread your money into value stocks and small cap stocks. You can find out more details about that approach in Don McDonald's video workshop. And then go to ifa.com and take the risk capacity survey to find out what level of risk is appropriate for your situation, and then how to match your risk with the right asset classes. In fact, that's step 11, risk exposure. And you remember the 12 steps for active investors that I put to music? Well, whoever I picked for step 11 didn't want to play and have their music put on the CD. So I picked Ann Davis and the song Awakening. And here's the new step 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 11, risk exposure. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I'm almost home. I've taken the risk capacity survey, and now I'm ready to put my money to work. I can't tell you how good it feels to finally be on the right track with my investments. You know, somebody once told me, coming out of the dark is a bright experience. Before you know it, you're laughing more and life makes sense. Somebody else also told me, if you could ride out the storm, the sun would come again. Well, I've been holding my breath, sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting on this welcomed awakening.
Somebody once told me, coming out of the dark's a bright experience. Before you know it, you're laughing more and life makes sense. Somebody once told me, if you can ride out the storm, the sun will come again. I've been holding my breath, sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting on this welcome to awakening.
Now that you understand risk capacity, the next step is to match the results of the risk capacity survey with a specific risk exposure. There is only one risk exposure question that needs to be posed. What mix of indexes provides the highest expected return at your level of risk? Getting to that answer involved concepts discovered by academics who methodically applied the scientific method to this problem. You want a simple formula for your risk exposure? Try these four concepts. Number one, obtain data with acceptable confidence levels. This requires at least 20 years of risk and return characteristics of indexes. Number two, select several indexes that best capture the three factors that explain 95% of stock market returns. Those include indexes from the United States, international, and emerging markets. And within each area, select indexes that focus on total market, small cap, and value stocks. Number three, assemble those indexes in such a manner that you obtain global diversification, tax management where applicable, and high expected returns at each level of risk. And number four, considering the taxable status of each account, allocate the index mutual funds that best match the indexes. In taxable accounts, use tax-managed index funds. In tax-deferred accounts, use standard index funds. If you don't understand what to do now that you know your risk capacity, if you don't know how to get the right risk exposure, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again? Somewhere you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue.
I just really want to thank Zach and Sarah for giving permission to put their song on the CD. You know, it's really not the original intent for the Rescue Me part of their song, and I wonder how they feel about that, but I think they feel pretty good about it. Their music is really good. I encourage you to go to PodSafe Music Network and download the entire song and see for yourself what it's all about. Here's something you won't find anybody else doing on any other shows. I'm going to read to you the abstract from the most popular paper out at the Social Sciences Research Network, SSRN.com. The most downloaded academic paper out there is entitled Market Efficiency, Long-Term Returns, and Behavioral Finance by Eugene F. Fama. Here's the abstract of the paper. Market efficiency survives the challenge from the literature on long-term return anomalies. Consistent with the market efficiency hypothesis that the anomalies are chance results, apparent overreaction to information is about as common as underreaction, and post-event continuation of pre-event abnormal returns is about as frequent as post-event reversal. Most important, consistent with the market efficiency prediction that apparent anomalies can be due to methodology, most long-term return anomalies tend to disappear with reasonable changes in technique. Now, I think the bottom line of this paper is this. If you find someone who says they have a technique for identifying which stocks are going to do better in the long run, Fama would suggest that they're wrong. Say someone has they're going to have a strategy of buying initial public offerings or buying the companies that divest other companies or buy companies that have been divested or by companies due to some other metric. Fama would say, nope, it doesn't work. There's only three factors that influence the prices of stocks in the long term. The market that you're in, the size of the company, and the book-to-market ratio, or the fact that it's a value stock. I'll have a link to the paper. You can decide for yourself. One other thing I'd like to direct your attention to on the MadMoneyMachine.com blog is I responded to an article by Henry Blodgett, who thinks that there should be a new name for passive investing, since passive is such a poor name for what we're doing here. And if you're interested in my new name for it, go out to MadMoneyMachine.com and you'll see in there a posting called Name That Style. I think you'll find it's a better way to invest. Also, this update on the Portfolio Smackdown. It seems that the virtual stock exchange has a couple of glitches in the way they calculate things. First of all, thank you, Nevada, for pointing out that anyone who shorts a stock before a stock split, hey, you get double your money in the VSE game. Also, and this is more important, anyone who held shares in Altria before it divested its Kraft stock, you'll see a big hit in your performance. You should become an owner in Kraft stock But so far, VSE is not taking that into account. That's going to be a headache for us in computing the results. Something is happening here at the Mad Money Machine. There's a word that I have not said in this show, that I have said in every other show that I've done. Do you know what that word is? I'm not going to say it. But if you know what it is, give me a call at 206-734-4763. Tell me what the word is, and tell me how it makes you feel that I haven't said it. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer. By the way, you may be wondering, why do I use three names, Paul Douglas Boyer? Well, when I started this podcast, I first of all wondered whether I should even use my name on the internet and be all public like that, but I guess that was the right decision. Secondly, I thought, my two names don't work well together. Paul Boyer. I know sometimes when I've introduced myself to people in public, they'll say, "Hi, what's your name?" I say, "My name's Paul Boyer." And they'll say, "Bob?" I say, "No, it's Paul." "Oh, Paul." And so for some reason, I don't know why, but Paul Boyer doesn't seem to come out very well together. Paul Boyer. This is Paul Boyer. This is Paul Boyer. This is Paul Boyer. I don't know, maybe it sounds okay. Also, it helps, I guess, in Google searches. I don't think there's any other Paul Douglas Boyers in the United States. There are plenty of other Paul Boyers, and there's one Nobel Prize winning Paul Boyer, in fact. So I'll be Paul Douglas Boyer. And the domain name Paul Boyer was already taken, so yeah, I think I'll go sign up for pauldouglasboyer.com. Well, this has been Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a little bit of serendipity to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next week, and in the meantime, go out every day and read an article from IFA.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Take their risk capacity survey and figure out how to get the right risk exposure for yourself.